some reason, hear anybody preach or teach about being covered. But I want to talk about that today. You know, and I know, in a country like Ireland, where we don't pay for water, because we have so much of it, and it's great water, but it rains a little bit now and again, doesn't it? And if we're out in McCurtain Street here, and it's raining, and someone says, come under my umbrella, or someone says, come in here to shelter from the downpour, we're going to do that, aren't we? Someone will say, would you cover me? We know that if you've got some soldiers, and they're in a live fighting situation, and the enemy is firing on them, and one of the guys has got to run across an open area, he'll ask his comrades to cover him, to fight at the enemy, so that he can run across. So many situations where we need covering. I hope last night everybody here had a roof over their heads, because we need shelter, we need a roof, we need a covering so that we can survive. That's physically. But we also need a covering emotionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need a covering mentally.
Yeah.
And we need a covering spiritually.
Yeah.
And someone can meet all those needs and raise up those who we need to meet those needs. And that is the essence of what I want to share on today. And I've called today's word, Cover Me. I'm going to be looking at Ruth chapter 3. Many of you will know the book of Ruth, but for many others it's all new. I don't have time to go into it all. But something powerful happened at the start of this book, where a girl called Ruth got converted. Today we call it born again. She came to faith. And that's what we're going to look at. But I'm going to pray that the Lord would help our minds and our hearts to hear and discern, discern what he's saying to you. There might be 300 of us here. Each person's life is very individual, even with married couples, even within the same family. We face different challenges. We struggle with different things. Some people struggle on the outside, and it's evident to all. Some people struggle on the inside, and no one really sees it. The Bible says the sin of some goes before them, the sin of others goes behind them, it's hidden. But it's not just sin, it's struggle, which isn't sin. So if you have, let's say, a skin condition, it's evident to everyone. But if you've got a mental health challenge, most people won't even see it, unless they really know you and love you and care. So either way, we need a covering over our lives, because the covering protects us, it heals us, and it blesses us. And that's what I'm going to look at today. I'm going to ask you to bear with me. Would you stand with me and we pray just for 30 seconds? Would you put one hand on your head and one hand on your heart? Go on, go on, go on. Nobody's looking, the room is dark. We pray now, oh God, that our minds would be open to your word. Not to my word, Lord, to your word. And we pray our hearts would be receptive to what your Holy Spirit wants to speak into our situation. So we come before you now, Lord, and we thank you for your eternal word that has helped people for thousands of years. And we ask you that it would help us today as we face the week ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's take our seats. Spiritually, within the Jewish faith, covering was a big thing. And remember, our faith, we're not Jews, we're Christians, but our faith grew out of the Jewish faith. And for example, all through millennia, and even today, a Jewish wedding, the couple will get married under a covering, under a canopy. Today, they call it a chutzpah. Say chutzpah. So there's a T in the middle, about four people said it. Come on, give it a go. One, two, three. Chutzpah. So they get married under that, and it's a symbol of a few things. One of the symbols is, God is covering me. It's not just me on my own devices trying to work out life. God has got me. God is covering me. And not only that is God covering them, The husband will cover or protect his wife. And just as importantly, though maybe in a slightly different way, the wife will protect her husband. Because that's what married couples are meant to do. We look out for one another. Amen?
Amen.
So Denise has protected me in ways I've never been able to protect myself. And hopefully I've done the same for Denise. So that's the way it works. Interesting as well, when a Jewish couple marry, just as an aside, they get like a wine glass and they put it under the foot of the groom and he smashes the wine glass. And everyone celebrates. But one of the important aspects of that is to declare relationships are fragile. Just because you're madly in love on the day you get married and things are great, you're going to hit challenging times. Always remember, relationships are fragile. You can spend years building up a relationship and in 1 hour destroy it. It's like you build a house. It can take a long time to build a house. But you put the right explosive in there and you'll destroy it in seconds. And so when the husband does that and smashes it, the couple are reminded, we don't have any guarantee here. We need to work at this and we need to be careful. And so this is the covering that the Jewish couple come under. Let me introduce you to three characters in this short portion of the Bible in the Old Testament we're going to look at today. We have an older lady called Naomi. She came from Bethlehem, which is near Jerusalem. Her husband, Elimelech, said, because there was a famine in Bethlehem, they left and moved to the neighboring country of Moab. They really moved out of God's will. And that was their choice. When we move away from God, we move away from his covering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bethlehem means the house of bread. There was a famine. Sometimes, even with the Lord, we can go through a hard time. But don't give up. Because when we move away from the blessing. And this family moved away. They went to live in Moab, this neighboring country. And the three men died. The father and the two young sons. So this woman had a husband and two sons. And in her own declaration, she said, I left Bethlehem full. But I've come back empty. It's interesting, the two sons married in that land and they left two young widows, and one of the young widows was this girl, this young lady, Ruth. We think she was about 20. A lot of commentators say she was about that. She had no children. Her husband died fairly early into the marriage. And you can read it in Ruth chapter 1. She said to Naomi, don't ask me to leave you. Naomi was trying to put her off following her. And she said, your people will be
my people.
Your God will be
my God.
She was born again. That's the terminology we do say. She was converted. Why? Because she saw something in Naomi, an older believer, far from perfect, probably traumatized, and yet within her identity was something very attractive. Because she trusted in the Lord. And Ruth saw that. Most of us here have come to faith in Jesus because we met someone. Someone in the family, a friend, at work, wherever. And we saw something in them. And when they told us the good news of Jesus Christ, it started our journey. And it brought us to be part of a community like this. And that's what happened to Ruth. And then the third and final character is a man called Boaz. And we think he was aged somewhere between 30 and 40. He had never married. He was a big farmer, but he was also a humble, godly man. And he is the third character in our short portion of the Bible today. Now, you know I love maps, don't you?
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm getting another map in Tino, because I can't resist a good old map. So you can see here. Here's Bethlehem. It's today in the West Bank, and not far from Jerusalem. And the family went from there to Moab. This is the Dead Sea, the only sea in the world you can't drown in, because there's so much salt you float. And they went to Moab, which was a pagan country. They worshipped false gods. And that's where the men died. The three men in the family died because they weren't where they were meant to be. They were meant to be in the house of bread, Bethlehem. But Naomi escaped back and she returned the journey with Ruth. So we're going to read the portion of scripture in Ruth chapter 3. May God bless it to our souls.
Amen.
Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, they've now come back to the land of Israel, I need to see that you will be looked after here. Boaz, the man you saw harvesting his crops, is a relative of my late husband. He is our kinsman redeemer. Tonight he'll be at the barley threshing floor. So wash and anoint yourself, and then wait silently at the threshing floor until after Boaz and his people have eaten and he lies down to sleep. Then lie down at his feet and he will tell you what to do. So Ruth did exactly as Naomi instructed. At midnight, Boaz woke up and he was startled, asking, who are you? I am Ruth, she replied. Please cover me with your cloak or garment, because you are my kinsman redeemer. And Boaz answered, may you be blessed, Ruth, for this kindness you have shown to me now is even greater than the kindness you've shown to Naomi, as you have not gone after the young men, whether rich or poor. Now I will go and do for you all that you have asked. Hallelujah. So we're told straight away that Naomi says to Ruth, I need to see you're looked after. Boaz, the farmer you saw, is my late husband's relative and my kinsman's redeemer. So there's a couple of things going on here. First thing is that the older believer is looking after the younger believer. And that principle has existed for thousands of years. And it exists today. Are you a believer who's been on the road for a while? How about we just look out for the new ones, the younger ones who say amen?
Amen.
Why? Yeah, we've got issues ourselves. Yeah, we need God to answer prayers in our lives. But we've got a bit more experience and possibly a bit more wisdom. So we need to be on the lookout for the younger ones and the new ones to make sure they're okay. Hallelujah. It's called community. It's called church. You don't invade someone's privacy. You don't try and do weird cult stuff or something. But you look out. We look out for one another. Amen?
Amen.
How did she know Boaz? This is interesting. Previous chapter 2 and verse 3 says, Ruth gathered the leftover crops on the edge of the fields of Boaz. No social welfare back then. A woman couldn't just get a job. She couldn't go, obviously, to a factory, a call center, a hospital, a school, an office, whatever. There were none of those jobs. How you survived was agriculture or fishing, which took physical strength. So for most of the ladies back then, they just weren't able to make a living by and large. So they were very vulnerable. And even though there was no social welfare, God in the old Jewish law put in some wonderful provisions. One of them was, even though the farmer owned all the fields, he wasn't allowed under Jewish law to harvest the crops on the edge of the field. So Ruth joined the other poor people, and she was living on the edge. And she was trying to survive. The old word in the King James Version is to glean, G-L-E-A-N. She was trying to glean and survive on the leftovers, the bit on the edge. She was in poverty. She was not in a good place. But she wasn't going to stay there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God doesn't keep us in a place like that. Paul said, I've learned how to be thankful with much and with little. Sometimes, and I've been there, you go through where you have little or no money. But God always brings us through. Hallelujah. He mightn't give us a BMW or a Cadillac or whatever. He mightn't supply our greeds, but he will supply all our needs.
Hallelujah.
So Ruth is on the edge. She's just barely surviving, helping her mother-in-law, or former mother-in-law, Naomi. And Naomi was not only looking after Ruth, and not only did Ruth know Boaz and she just had a few words with him, but she calls him this weird term, kinsman redeemer. A kin or kinsman is clan or family, a distant relative. Who was the kinsman redeemer? I want to do a tiny bit of teaching before we get to the preaching. Are you up for that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you at the end of the teaching, are you still awake, okay? And I can see in the dark. There are four simple things a kinsman redeemer would have done back then, and four things that God does for you and me today. Kinsman redeemer, the Hebrew term for the theology heads out there is Manoach, and the system was known as the Goel. Basically, one of the things he would do is if one of his relatives, a cousin, a nephew, a niece, an aunt, was captured and was bought into slavery, he would make sure that his relative would be set free from the slavery. And he would buy that person out, or he would rescue them. A lot of wonderful instances in the Bible of this taking place when there was slavery way back then. How is that relevant today? Romans 6:18 says, it's because of our God that we have been set free from our old lives of slavery to sin. He sets us free from loneliness. He sets us free from depression. He sets us free from addiction. The God of the Bible is the one who sets us free, if we allow him. If we allow him, he sets us free. So the Redeemer back then, the kinsman Redeemer, set his family free from slavery. And the Lord today, who is our Redeemer, because Boaz is a type, a shadow of Jesus Christ in this story. He sets us free today. He was an avenger of family blood. If someone was murdered with evil intent, or as the lawyers say, with malice aforethought, and you were murdered, someone in your family was murdered, he would avenge the murder. You might go, that's awful, really? But remember, there was no prisons. There was no police force. There were no lawyers or judges. It was a different society and culture. If it was an accident, that person was protected under God's law. But if there wasn't an accident and someone was with evil intent killing people, he had the right to make the revenge and get that person. And today we know that Romans 12:19 says, leave all revenge only to the Lord. As the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. I remember when I started working in my first job, one of the guys working with me, I was there about 6 months and we got on very well. And about 6 months later, I was born again. I became a Christian. I changed from the inside out. And suddenly this guy took an instant dislike to me. It was, and I'm going back 40 years, it was demonic. There was something really wrong there. And he took every opportunity to slag me off, to curse the Lord, to ridicule Christians. And I prayed because I wanted to deck him. I wanted to give him a dig. I wanted to get my backs on this twat and shut him up. I remember he had false teeth and I said, oh, if I gave him a good one, I'll get the false teeth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But I had read this as a young Christian, and I had asked an older Christian friend, and he said, you got to leave it to the Lord, and that's really hard. And I prayed and I prayed, and about 8 months later, he got a job in another company. Now, we were working for a small company, and for a lot of the day, it was only me and him, and it was impossible. The atmosphere was horrible. And when he left, I was like a man set free, hallelujah! Here's the strange thing. Everything in that guy's life went wrong. And I'm talking death, I'm talking serious financial stuff. And then, in a strange way, a lot of members of his immediate family, and we're going way back when very few of us were born again in this city, a whole lot of them started becoming Christians. It was like God was really getting him back, you know? And he fell out with his own family in the end because he didn't like them being Christians. But here I knew at a very young age, Revenge is for God.
Amen.
He'll sort it out.
Amen.
I'm not going to sort it
out.
Who'll give a loud amen?
Amen.
God will sort out your issues. Someone doing wrong? Don't be like me looking at their faults, thinking want to give them a D. Let the Lord sort it out. He's well able. And that's what the kinsman redeemer did back then. He would buy back the family land. Very often, a family would have land, and in poverty, they'd have to sell it. Or maybe the enemy would come and steal the land. It was up to the kinsman redeemer to get that land back. Usually, he bought it back. He was a restorer of what was lost. What does the Bible tell us in Joel 2:25? The Lord restores the years the locusts have eaten. Have you made mistakes in the past? Or has stuff happened to you and you've lost something? The God I know, the promises in the Bible are that God will restore the years the locusts have eaten. Is that true for you? No? Is it true for anyone?
Yes.
He will restore. Do you know what? I'm going to pray right now. If you've lost something and you know God can restore just where you are, would you stand up and lift up your hands? We're going to pray for 30 seconds. That's it. Just stand up. You know what you've lost. Man may not know. God knows. Lift up your hands. Put into your hands that which you've lost. Relationship, career, health, mental health, a loved one. In the name of Jesus, we believe your word is true. And I quote the prophet Joel, chapter 2, and verse 25. Into your life, the Lord will restore for you the years the locusts have eaten. In Jesus' mighty name. And those with faith cried out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take our seats. Just claim the word. Remember the Bible. The two Greek words are logos, which is the written word. So this is one of our new Bibles called Greek Lights. It's really cool because it's got all QR codes where you can hear the word. It's got all illustrations and so on. Anyway, so the logos is the written word, but it's also called the rhema. And logos is written and rhema is living. Sometimes a verse from the Bible, the logos, becomes a rhema, a living word. It's prophetic. It's life for your today. So when we read a scripture, don't let it pass you by. Believe it and claim it and pray about it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Why? Because if God speaks to you, grab it. Don't let the Lord pass you by. Because Jesus is moving in churches and places like this. And sometimes he comes close and the word becomes alive. And we need to reach out and say, here I am, Lord. Hear my prayer. And he will. Hallelujah. So this is the third thing he does. And then here's the final one. And this is really relevant for today. He will marry a childless widow. If, like Ruth, your husband died, you haven't had any children, it was very impossible or very difficult to get married again. Because a lot of the single guys didn't want to marry someone else's former wife. And if you didn't have a son, you were going to be destitute. You were going to live forever on the edge, just barely surviving. And you had no covering. You had no one to protect you, to provide for you. So the kinsman redeemer, if he was not married, it was his calling to make sure you weren't left on your own. What does the Bible say to us today from Psalm 68, 5-6? The Lord is a father to the orphan and a protector of the widow. He sets the lonely in families.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What a wonderful verse and what a wonderful promise. So that was the teaching. Are you still awake?
Yes.
How about down the back? Are you still awake?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to do a bit of preaching now. Is that okay?
Yes.
Praise God. Let's get into the meat of what I want to talk to today. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. This is Naomi's advice to Ruth. Go to the threshing floor, and after Boaz has eaten, and he lies down to sleep, Go and lay down at his feet, and he'll tell you what to do. The what? First of all, this was not a mantra. This was not Ruth trying to capture Boaz. There was no dating back then. Dating only came in a couple of hundred years ago. You read back through history for thousands of years, there really wasn't any dating. You go to the most populous nation in the world, India, and the vast majority of couples have arranged marriages. And you don't have dating in the same way that you do in Europe. And the families are involved and wisdom is involved. I think there's a lot to be said to it rather than just potluck. But anyway, that's only my opinion. So dating back then was not a thing. And Ruth needed to send a signal to her kinsman redeemer to ask him to remember her. You see, it's the same today. We have to be intentional. You were intentional by coming here this morning. You've already shown God that you're open, that you're interested, that something is brewing deep down in your soul, and you've come into a place like this. So Ruth was showing her intentions, and she was going in to talk to Boaz. Now, she couldn't exactly text him and go, "Hey, Boaz, how's it going? You're my kinsman redeemer. Sort me out there." Love, Ruth. That's not going to happen. How is that going to happen? No. So she did it, and this in that culture was understood. People got it. But my favorite in this, how wise was Naomi? I think this woman was so wise. You read it earlier, she said, "Ruth, make yourself pretty, smell nice, and let the man eat his dinner." So you can spend €1,000 over the next 6 months going to a relationship counselor and saying, "How can I keep my man? Or how can I get a man? Here I am telling it to you for free. Make yourself pretty, smell nice, and let him eat his dinner." Hallelujah. It's a revelation. Sisters, if you're going on a date with a guy and you think he really could be for you and you're going to a restaurant, don't start with all the questions at the beginning. Let him eat his dinner. I promise you, once he's eaten his dinner, he'd be a lot more interested in what you have to say. If you don't believe me, just watch his eyes when you go to the restaurant. Is he looking at you or at the meal coming out? I bet you he's looking at the food coming out. Rejected. Don't be silly. He's just hungry. You see, as men, we've an appetite and we have to eat our dinner. And so Naomi said, "Make yourself pretty, smell nice, anoint yourself, and after he's had his dinner." Do you know, there's even a wisdom there for married couples, and it's for all of us. If you've got a serious issue to talk through, don't just come in from work and you're cold and you're tired and you're hungry and you start talking about that issue, you'll end up fighting with each other. Mm. Do you know what? Relax, get warm if it's the winter, and eat your dinner. And then when you're fed and you're rested, then you can talk through the issue. For what we can understand, God has given us our minds. And right through the scripture, we see this. But for some reason, a lot of the ladies would be more willing to do without the dinner. They'd have a cream cracker or something later and be grand. And they'd do without the dinner once they can get the connection. But for a lot of the men, they want to have their dinner. We want to have our dinner. So hallelujah for the dinner. We'll say amen.
Amen.
So Ruth goes up and she lies down at Boaz's feet. He's had a fine dinner. I don't know what he had. I'm sure it was Irish food, definitely. Lots of potatoes. And he falls asleep and he's got his garment and his cloak, his blankets, if you will, over him. And he's fast asleep. She remains there silently in the shadows. So she's not making a big thing about this, but she just goes up and lies down at his feet. Here's what we need to know. She was not comfortable. Why? Because we're talking about semi-desert conditions. And here in Ireland, we think of the desert as hot, hot, hot all the time. But actually, the night times are very cold. Actually, I was reading about Namibia recently, Marilyn. The midtowns in Namibia get really cold, don't they?
The desert, yes.
Especially in the desert. So she would have been cold and she had nothing over her. And that's why she says to Boaz, when he wakes up and he discovers her there, please cover me with your cloak or garment. You are my kinsman redeemer. You can call out to the living God today. If you're coming back to him or this is all new to you, he is our redeemer. Will you cover me? Cover me with your blessing. Cover me with your protection. Cover me with your healing. You are my redeemer. Hallelujah. Amen. Cover me. It's not complicated, but it is profound. How often, as a parent, when my children were small and they would be cold and they'd kick off the blankets, or Denise and I would come in and we would cover them so they'd be warm. This is intuitive and deep within our psyche. And God uses language that is symbolic so that we can understand it. It's called anthropomorphic. And he uses this language. And that's why cover me resonates with all of us, because we know what it is to be covered, to be protected, to be loved, to feel secure, to feel healing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so, if you read through, she said, would you extend the border of your mantle? That's the old King James. So he pulls part of his garment, his cloak, over her. And that symbolism, remember, bread and wine is a symbol. Water baptism by immersion is a symbol. Washing feet, these are all symbols. The anointing of oil is a symbol. This was a symbol. This was a symbol that the Redeemer was covering her future. The Redeemer was rescuing her from poverty. The Redeemer was giving her a destiny. What does that mean? This couple went on to be an ancestor of Jesus Christ. This is powerful. And it all began with a girl who came from the wrong side of the river with a load of issues, living on the edge, in poverty, but her heart was pure. And God lifted her out of that situation.
Amen.
And he covered her and he blessed her. And I love the fact, even though it's midnight and there's a load of other people asleep, we're told, and the word in Hebrew is interesting, it's declared. That means this was loud. What did he say? Boaz declare, Ruth, may you be blessed. This kindness you've shown to me now is even greater than the kindness you've shown to Naomi. As you've not gone after the young men, whether rich or poor. The Jewish rabbis and a lot of the commentators tell us Boaz was not known for being handsome. He didn't have a grand face. He wasn't Mr. Muscle Man down in the gym. You wouldn't look at Boaz's sisters and go, whoa, he's gorgeous. Poor old Boaz wasn't blessed that way, but he was handsome inside. Are we really so shallow that we just look at the outside? Man might look at the outside. What does God look at?
The heart.
I promise you this. As you get older, you lose your looks. Yeah, that's only women. No, it's men too, brothers. I haven't, but a lot of people have. My mother-in-law often used to say, her favourite song was, I don't know, one of the crooners, Bing Crosby or whatever, Frank Sinatra, and he used to sing a song, south of the border, down Mexico way. And she used to go, the skin, as you get older, just goes south of the border, down Mexico way. Maybe, like, sure, you get a load of face, whatever they call them, facelifts. Doesn't work. It doesn't work. We'll see it. Here's the beauty of what God says. It doesn't matter hugely what you look on the outside, because beauty is within and it shines through. And Boaz, he may not have had a queue of girls wanting to marry him because he wasn't Mr. Handsome. I tell you this, though, he got the perfect wife in Ruth. He got the wife he always needed, and he was blessed. So that's why Boaz is so delighted. Brothers, would you blame him? Well, I wouldn't know anything about that. I'm so good looking myself. I don't blame with Boaz. He was blessed. He was delighted with Ruth. But something spiritual, of course, is going on as well. So he covers her. And she's not cold anymore. And she's not vulnerable anymore. And she's not struggling on the edge anymore. Because her Redeemer has rescued her. Hallelujah. And I know Ruth had faith, but I bet you Ruth had dark nights of the soul. I bet you Ruth had nights where she'd go, am I going to survive here at all? I bet you Ruth had nights of mental health torture in her head. Because she had just seen her young husband die and she knew how vulnerable life was. I bet you Ruth knew dark nights of the soul. But she kept on believing in the one whose light pierces that darkness. And when she went to Boaz, she did it by faith. Scripture goes on to tell us in verse 11, and I believe this is prophetic today. Boaz declared to Ruth, remember he's a type of Jesus here. And now my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask. I will do for you all that you ask. That's exactly what he did. He made a legal declaration. They ended up getting married. The book of Ruth, which starts with Naomi, who is traumatized and devastated in death, and it ends with Naomi holding the first baby of this couple, and she holds the baby up, and it is so symbolic and picturesque of we start with nothing, we start with death, but we end with life. Hallelujah! We end with new life. I believe God is saying to one sister here, I don't know who you are, but this is for you. You have come to God with a load of requests. Maybe your situation is complicated. And he is saying, I will do for you, Jesus, all that you ask.
Amen.
I don't know who it is. Maybe there's 10 women going to stand up here, just where you're sitting. And I know it's for one, but sometimes the cup overflows. Sometimes the vine grows over the wall. Maybe it'll be for more, but I know it's for one. Which of the sisters here has requests and you want me to pray today? Just where you stand, will you put up your hand? Praise God. Would you stand just where you are? We did it earlier. Just stand where you are. Brothers, don't be jealous. I just know this is for a sister here. Would you raise your hands and give to the Lord that which you are praying for? All of your requests. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this prayer now. And the Rhema word from the Logos word here says, I will do for you all that you ask. Lord, hear these prayers now. My sisters are asking and they're saying names and they're whispering situations. And we pray this word would come to pass and you will give them the desires of your heart. Come, Holy Spirit, and give to them all they ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
All the men said,
Amen.
And all the girls and the ladies who prayed said,
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Take your seats, guys. Sometimes the word comes alive and we need to apply it to our lives. I love what a guy called Pastor Tony Evans, I think somewhere in America, Texas, or one of those places. An interesting guy. He broadcasts, he writes. But he, in the commentary on Ruth, said this. Sometimes God lets you hit rock bottom so that you will discover he is the rock at the bottom. Ruth hit rock bottom. Ruth was on the edge. Maybe you've hit rock bottom. Maybe you are in poverty. Maybe you are really struggling with your mental health. Maybe someone you love is going to walk out on you or has walked out on you. Discover the rock at the bottom. Because when you do, he will lift you up. Hallelujah. You and I sang it and declared it earlier. He lifts me up. He turns me around. Hallelujah. That's the God we love. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. As through his blood we are forgiven from all wrongdoing because of his grace. Just in case you are confused, Jesus is our Redeemer today. He raises up men and women to bless us, but he is the source. Amen?
Amen.
He is the Redeemer. One last scripture. Psalm 91:4. The Lord will cover you.
Amen.
The Lord will cover you. The Lord will cover you. The Lord will cover you. And under his wings, you will find refuge.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I have walked with the Lord for 43 years. This much I know. This much I know. God has been my refuge from poverty. God has been my refuge from a broken heart. God has been my refuge from stress. God has been my refuge from illness. He is the one who delivers me. He's the one who can deliver you. If you don't know this God, you have an opportunity today to reach out and touch him and get to know him. If you have drifted from him, you have an opportunity today to come back to him. But for all of us, we have an opportunity today to know the blessing of the warmth of his embrace and his protection. And he will cover us. And I'm going to give an opportunity for all of us, whatever our situation, say, Lord, would you cover me with this today? But before we do that, let me just tell you of the song we're going to sing. Here's what we're singing. Here's the verse we're going to have Asosha to start with. I needed rescue. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter. I was an orphan, but now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future. My eyes are open. Because when you call my name, what did I do?
I ran out of
that grave. Ruth was in a grave, but God called her by her name. He used Naomi, and she ran out of the grave of poverty. She ran out of the grave of loneliness. She ran out of the grave of having no future. And God rescued her because she knew she needed to be covered. We're going to sing this, and then I'm going to ask for those to respond. But you know what we're going to do? Have you run out of that grave? No one? Anyone run out of a grave?
Yes.
How about a few of us declare it here publicly? I, Tom Burke, ran out of that grave. I tell you, we were beating them down at the 10 o'clock. They were all coming up, declaring it in the microphone. Who's up for that? I, Joe Murphy, ran out of that grave. The grave of hopelessness, the grave of addiction, the grave of loneliness, the grave of having no purpose in my life. I ran out of that grave. Who's willing to come up and make that declaration? Give me a bunch of you. Put up your hand. Who's willing? Come on, up on stage. Crowd with me up on stage if you're willing to do it. Come on, do you want me to send you a telegram? Come on, come up on stage. Who's going to say it? That's it, come up, be brave. Come up and declare it. This is great, loads of lads. It was all girls at the first one. I had to challenge the lads. Just say your full name. I'm Tom Burke, I ran out of the grave.
I'm Justin Hinkle, and I ran out of the grave.
Give her a round of
applause! I'm Mark Kenny, and I ran out of that grave.
Yes, you did, Mark.
I was taken out of the grave.
Hallelujah.
But Jesus.
Praise
God,
you
ran
out of that grave.
I connected Mark and I ran out of that grave.
Hallelujah!
Yeah. Is there any women in the house?
Yes, I, Sophia, one came to people about it. Run out of that grave! Come
on, give me up to women. Who's going to declare it? I don't know, so all the extroverts come to the early service. Come on, we got someone coming up. Come on, give me two or three of you. Come up and make a declaration. Make a declaration to the Lord, to the devil, to one another, and to yourself. Happy anniversary.
I'm Rafael Bucco, and I run out of
the grave. Yes, you did. Hallelujah. My son, Jared,
and
I'm just
kidding.
Yes, you did. And then we're going to pray. Ruth ran out of the grave. I ran out of the grave. Loads of people here ran out of the grave. You know what? Don't stay with the dead. Come into the land of the living, because that's your future. Socha!
I needed rescue. My sin was scared.
Yeah.
how can we resist the God of salvation, the God of restoration? Could everyone close their eyes on stage, off stage, down the back, up the front? If you want to call on the Lord today, maybe it's your first time. Or maybe you've drifted and you're saying, oh God, I want to come back to you. And we're going to pray for you that God would cover you. Would you lift up your hand in total privacy? But I need to see the hands before I pray. See your hand? I see yours. I see yours. I see yours. 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 I see yours. Okay, I think we have 9 people. We're going to pray together, but it's for the 9 people. I want those 9 people to pray, but let's all pray together in solidarity. Amen?
Amen.
If you could repeat after, could we all lift up our hands to the prayer and just do it in solidarity with these 9 people? Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
you are my Redeemer.
You are my Redeemer.
Cover me,
with your healing,
with your blessing,
with your protection,
with your salvation. Restore me, O God.
Be my leader.
Be my Savior.
Be my friend.
All the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
We give these 9 guys a round of applause. If you don't have a Bible and you're one of those 9 guys, we'd love to give you a Bible. They're really cool, as I said. We can give you a Bible if you come to see myself or Dara. One more prayer. How many of us have a prayer and we need God's covering on it? Are you going to do something new? Are you going back to work, back to school? Are you going to move house? Are you going to ask her out, ask him out? Are you going to start something for the Lord? I don't know. But we are so foolish if we don't invite the Lord to cover us.
Yes.
And what better a place than among God's people in the house of God. And we say, God, would you cover me? If that's you, would you put up your hand for any of those reasons? Okay, I see your hands. We're going to sing the song. And I'm going to invite you up to the top because I want to pray that God really will cover you with his blessing and with his protection. Let's sing and then we'll pray.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb.
Whether it's something really new or whether it's something you've been trying for a while, would you lift your hands to the Lord? And we're going to invite him to come upon you in Jesus' name. As you hear the silent prayers now coming out of each man and woman's heart and soul. For this thing we're doing, this thing we want to do, this thing we've been trying to do. We invite you now, O God, cover me. Cover my brothers. Cover my sisters. I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer after me. And the prayer is simply, Lord, cover me in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the prayer. And I'm going to ask you to say it out loud. Lord, cover me in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the count of 3, I want you, everyone who's praying it, maybe you're down there and you want to pray it, maybe you'd rather be down there than come up here. That's okay. But let's do it together. And it is, Lord, cover me in Jesus' name, amen. At the count of three. One, two, three.
Lord, cover me in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's say it one more time.
Lord, cover me in Jesus' name, amen.
Cover our health, cover our mental health, cover our emotional health, cover our finances, cover our relationships, cover our work, cover our study, cover our homes, cover our future, cover our calling, cover our destiny. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you, O God. Your warmth, your healing, your blessing, and your protection. The Lord is saying to someone who is praying financially, could we all close our eyes, please? Let's all close our eyes. If your prayer is one for financial provision, will you just lift your hand? I don't want to give this word into the blue. Okay. Okay, you can take your hands down, six or seven. This is God's promise. God sent the prophet to the widow. She was at her wit's end. She was making the final loaf for herself and her son before they die. And God sent the prophet, and the oil started pouring. And God did a miracle in that they had enough bread to see them through the famine. And God is making a promise to someone here. It looks hopeless, but I am the God of the miraculous. I will give you bread every day. So I pray for these six people now, Lord, who lifted up their hands. Would you give them their daily bread, even as you have promised them, because you are the bread of life. So protect and provide for my brothers and sisters. For those with a broken heart, would you pour ointment and heal their broken hearts? For those who have a memory haunting them, Jesus, would you bring peace to that memory and let them lay it to rest? Thank you, Jesus. We leave the place of death and we move forward to the place of life. Can you say amen to that? Ruth left the place of death and she moved forward to the place of new life. I pray new life into every life that has come forward here. In Jesus' mighty name. And one last time, God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. As we go back to our seats, let's sing this one last time. Before we open the doors and leave, let's sing this one last time.
Have your mercy, have saved my soul.